ADP knows anything you hear, anything you don't hear, anything you kinda heard, anything you weren't supposed to hear and now have to pretend like you didn't, can change the world of work. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
Israel orders more than a million civilians to evacuate northern Gaza, with the UN warning of devastating humanitarian consequences. Senior U.S. officials are in the Middle East in a bid to prevent a wider conflict.
There are no plans to put U.S. troops on the ground in Israel to fight in this conflict. That said, we have throughout the region key, significant, important national security interests that we must protect and defend.
And Microsoft's blockbuster deal for Activision Blizzard finally gets the go-ahead. It's Friday, October 13th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Israel has told more than 1 million civilians, as well as UN staff, to evacuate northern Gaza. Briefing reporters on the evacuation notice, Israel Defense Forces spokesperson Jonathan Conricus urged civilians in Gaza to head south and distance themselves from Hamas.
This evacuation is for your own safety. You will be able to return to Gaza City only when another announcement permitting it is made.
The UN has called for Israel to rescind the order, saying it would be impossible to carry out without, quote, devastating humanitarian consequences. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who is traveling in the region, discussed concerns about civilian safety with Israeli leaders yesterday, though a U.S. official said those leaders did not discuss the mass evacuation order. Israel's notice to Gazans comes as the country gave its clearest indication yet of its war aims. Overnight, the Israel Defense Forces said its fighter jets hit 750 military targets in the northern Gaza Strip. Officials in Gaza say more than 1,500 Palestinians there have died and another 6,600 have been injured since Hamas's Saturday assault. More than 1,300 Israelis have died since then. As the conflict between Israel and Hamas intensifies, so too is American diplomatic and military involvement surrounding the crisis. To learn more about how Washington sees America's role playing out, I spoke with U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. And we should note, this was before Israel's evacuation notice for northern Gaza. Admiral John Kirby, thank you so much for being with us today on What's News.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I want to get a sense of the scope of U.S. support for Israel. Could you just quickly remind us what the U.S. is doing, what it might be willing to do to support Israel or to rescue the Americans still believed to be held hostage by Hamas in particular?
Well, the first and most important thing we are doing is providing military assistance to the Israeli Defense Forces. The first tranche of that assistance included the kinds of things that we know they need. Artillery, interceptor missiles for Iron Dome, all of those things that are of prime importance as they begin these operations against Hamas. There will be more tranches of military assistance coming in coming days. And of course, we'll be working closely with Congress to pursue some supplemental funding so that that there can be no lapse in that assistance going forward. On the hostage piece, the first and foremost thing we're doing is trying to get more information. I mean, we know a small number of Americans are in that pool of hostages. We don't know exactly how many, and we don't know how big the pool is. And the Israelis are working hard as well. So we have offered hostage recovery expertise. We have some expertise that happened to be in the country anyway. But right now, the most important thing is getting information, because you can't develop options to either recover or negotiate the release of hostages until you have more information about how many, where they are, who they are, how they're being kept. So all that is very much in active work right now.
Would I be right to say the U.S. doesn't have an interlocutor currently on that, on the Hamas side?
If you're speaking about a negotiator, I think that's accurate, at least in terms of the United States. I can't speak for the Israelis and whether they have some means to communicate directly with Hamas, but we do not.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has said Hamas should be crushed, treated the same as the Islamic State. The president said as much on Wednesday, comparing their actions to the atrocities of ISIS. Expand on that a little bit. Namely, the U.S. fought the Islamic State by forming a military coalition. Is that needed here, something that's on the table?
I don't think we're looking at that right now. The focus is really on helping the Israelis go after Hamas. And Hamas, as you know, unlike ISIS, which had real not only violence as an aim, but geographic territory as an aim. I mean, they were trying to create a literal caliphate that spread between Syria and Iraq. I mean, they wanted to own territory and run governments and that kind of thing. That's not what Hamas just hates Israel. They just want to see Israel gone. And it's just all about the violence for Hamas. So it's a different situation than ISIS, although to hear Prime Minister Netanyahu say it, certainly some of the tactics of the violence are reminiscent. I mean, it was just brutal, the slaughter and the attacks that they conducted over the course of the weekend. But I don't see that move right now towards some sort of an international coalition to go after Hamas.
In terms of Americans who are listening to this, maybe hoping the U.S. gets more involved or cautious about getting further involved anywhere, really, beyond American borders at this point, are there limits, clear limits, in what the U.S. will do to support Israel?
Well, right now, again, the focus is on making sure they get the military weapons that they need. There are no plans to put U.S. troops on the ground in Israel to fight in this conflict. That said, we have throughout the region key, significant, important national security interests that we must protect and defend. And in keeping with that mindset and the challenges already that this conflict has caused, the president ordered a carrier strike group into the Eastern Mediterranean to send a strong message to any other actor or nation state that might think that this is a chance to widen the war, escalate it beyond what it is already, that they should not do that, that we take seriously any worries about widening or deepening the conflict.
Talk to us about escalation. What does the U.S. see as the most risky, concerning way that this could unravel further?
One of the most specific ways in these early days that it could widen in a dangerous way would be if another actor, in this case perhaps Hezbollah, joined the fight, thus opening up a second front for Israel. Right now they're focused on Gaza because that's where Hamas is sheltering themselves. But if a second front opened up, for instance, in the north, they would have to divert resources and manpower, military capabilities to that fight as well. And of course, that's something that nobody wants. We don't want to see it escalate or widen. So it's really about opening up diversionary opportunities that would draw off Israeli capabilities from the fight with Hamas in Gaza.
In terms of what the U.S. is communicating to allies in the region to prevent this from further escalating, are there U.S. allies that can play a role specifically in negotiating with Hamas that are being turned to now?
Well, I don't want to get too far ahead on the process here. Again, we're still exploring our options, but there are partners in the region who have more open lines of communication with Hamas, such as Qatar. Qatar has been useful and helpful in just getting the five Americans home from Iran that we just did a few weeks ago. Qatar was a partner in that. So there are other partners who may be able to play a role here. And we're going to keep exploring all those options. Again, the first thing is you got to have information. You got to know where they are, who they are, how many they are, and how they're being held before you can really develop strong policy options. But we are working on this around the clock, literally.
Different roles for different nations. What about for any humanitarian support for Gaza? Egypt has been engaged, we know. Can you update us on any progress there?
We are working closely with Egypt and Israel to see if we can develop safe passage options so that those civilians in Gaza who want to leave can leave safely. This isn't their fault. They didn't cause this. And if they want to leave, they should be allowed to leave. And two, we strongly support the continued access of humanitarian goods into Gaza. The United States is the largest contributor to Palestinian humanitarian assistance. We want to see that assistance continue. Of course, that means you got to have a corridor going in. And so we're working with Israel and Egypt on that as well.
John Kirby, thank you very much for being with us on What's News.
Thank you, sir.
Well, let's unpack some of what we just heard there. And to do that, I'm joined by Journal State Department reporter Will Malden, who's in Amman, Jordan this morning, traveling in the motorcade with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, who's meeting with King Abdullah of Jordan. Will, Blinken has extended his Mideast trip. We're expecting through the weekend at least. We heard the NSC spokesperson there saying the U.S. is engaging countries, Egypt, Qatar, among them, on various angles of this crisis. What do we know about what the U.S. is really focused on and pushing here?
That's right. Secretary Blinken has extended his trip to Arab countries in the region. They just added another one, Bahrain, just today. And the message is basically like Hamas is the bad guy. That's the U.S. and Israeli point of view because of the terrorist acts and the attack on Israeli civilians. And they want to prevent the conflict from expanding. They want to send a message of broad support for Israel, if possible, from the region to some degree. And they want to avoid it expanding broader to the region.
Let's talk specifically about Egypt and humanitarian concerns around Gaza, Will. We heard Kirby saying that people should be able to leave, and now there's all the more urgency on this, with Israel saying more than 1 million people in northern Gaza need to evacuate ahead of military operations there. What's been the U.S. reaction to that?
Well, that seemed to catch some people off guard in the Blinken entourage, because they were talking broadly, apparently, with Israel yesterday about zones for civilians, maybe some kind of safe zones. But this is essentially like leave the entire part of the north part of the Gaza Strip. So we're kind of waiting to see what that means on the ground. But there's definitely high concerns about civilians there. And as you mentioned, the U.S. is trying to work with Egypt on receiving some people fleeing Gaza, including American officials and their families, a small number, a larger number, tens of thousands of American citizens that live in the area. This is a vital concern for a lot of people, and they're trying to work out how to do it, but it's a complicated calculus between Israel, Hamas, Egypt, and the other countries in the region, all of whom want to find some way to deal with those civilians and avoid making what might be a catastrophic situation bloodier than it has to be.
All right, so many countries on Blinken's itinerary now. Do you get the sense, talking to folks close to the Secretary of State, that there is concern about where some of these countries may stand on this crisis?
That's why Blinken is going to so many countries in such a short time, including Saudi Arabia. The goal is to lay the groundwork to say, hey, you know, what Hamas did in Israel was out of bounds. Even if the countries don't say that openly, there needs to be, don't forget, there was a broad effort to unify parts of the Middle East to strike a normalization deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel that until recently was on the front burner. So the administration doesn't want to lose ground in that, wants to avoid a broader conflict involving the West Bank or Hezbollah. That's one reason why Secretary Blinken is meeting with Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to keep the West Bank peaceful. So the goal is to tamp that down as much as possible so that when Israel goes after Hamas, there's as little danger of escalation in the region.
That was Wall Street Journal State Department reporter Will Malden in Amman, Jordan. Will, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll head to Washington, D.C., where Steve Scalise has pulled out of the House Speaker race, leaving the GOP with just one candidate. But can Republicans agree to support Jim Jordan? We've got that story and more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
House Majority Leader Steve Scalise has withdrawn from the House Speaker race in a dramatic turn in the party's leadership fight. The announcement late Thursday comes as Scalise failed to convince members of the Freedom Caucus after winning the Republican Party's nomination on Wednesday over the caucus's preferred candidate, Jim Jordan. But as reporter Christina Peterson explains, Scalise's exit doesn't mean that Jordan will be able to get the 217 votes needed to cross the line.
The people who had been the holdouts for Congressman Scalise are not necessarily the math problem here. A lot of them had wanted Jim Jordan to be speaker, but you have this group of centrist Republicans who had not wanted to see Kevin McCarthy ousted to begin with, and they are frustrated that if Jordan becomes speaker, this band of holdouts who blocked the way are essentially being rewarded for their behavior. And so there's a real frustration. And so I think one of the things that we will be watching is to see whether these more centrist Republicans have their moment where they dig in against Jordan.
It is game on for Microsoft's acquisition of video game company Activision Blizzard. UK regulators approved the deal this morning, setting a clear path for the companies to close the $75 billion merger. The Competition and Markets Authority said the proposed deal no longer poses a major threat to competition in cloud gaming after Microsoft agreed to forfeit cloud streaming rights for Call of Duty and other popular Activision franchises in much of the world. Microsoft and Activision expect to complete the merger by October 18th. And one final note, in yesterday's interview with our correspondent Dov Lieber, I said that, quote, there have been arguments that Netanyahu's policies had moved Israel further away from peace with Palestine. That's since been corrected to say peace with the Palestinians. And that's What's News for Friday morning. Today's show was produced by Kate Bullivant and Mohsen Ali. Our supervising producer is Sandra Kilhoff, and I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. We will be back tonight with a new show. Until then, have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.